I think that from what I've read, he has instructed, or they have instructed, the CDF to prepare guidelines, and I think they are prepared, which would go to the different episcopal conferences. They also seem to have come up with the idea of a task force, which would probably go out, if you like, from the centre to the different peripheries, the different parts of the world, to make sure that they get the help they need. So it's oversight to make sure this is actually happening. It's been very clear that they have said that where the rule of law pertains, and of course it's not always the case throughout the world that that is so, that this matter should be immediately reported to the civil authorities. And that seems to me to be absolutely key. I think they probably need more work on canon law to make bishops accountable. They have suggestions, certainly the American Supich brought it back, and he had proposed it, that lay people have some oversight over bishops, and I think that's a very healthy thing, and I'd like to see that introduced.
Do you think that would ever happen?
I think it will. I think it will. I mean, in a different kind of way, for example, the Nolan report in England and independent reports by church authorities have done that through experts and so on, but I think it will. I think, in fact, if you look at the logic of what Francis is talking about, a synodal church in which the voice of the laity is listened to, in which there's a share in governance, you have to have that interplay. But it isn't yet sufficiently embedded. In fact, it's not at all embedded in canon law and in structures that has to change. And I do think there probably is still a missing piece around the Vatican itself, the files, the accountability of the Vatican. And that needs, I think, that ultimately, as the other pieces get into place, it'll be very hard, but I think that probably needs to be attended to as well.
And just as you're speaking about the Vatican and wider field, there is a move by the alt-right in Catholic circles to blame all this abuse on gay people and on gay priests in particular, and this the homosexualist heresy, they're calling it. And whilst they speak very strongly about the horror of child sexual abuse, they're very quick to say it's because of a gay culture. How do you react to that conflation of the two?
Any of the research findings I've looked at wouldn't support that. I think there is a sort of circumstantial report in that there's a higher proportion of gay people in the Catholic priesthood than in other institutions, understandably, because of the celibacy thing. Therefore, in terms of opportunity, probably, there is something there. But it strikes me as a kind of demonization of a group of people. And I'd much prefer the first draft of the document on the Synod and the Family talked about the need for us to study further sexual orientation and to appreciate the good points that are in people who are gay. And it seems to me that the more aligned with the remarks I made earlier, the more out of the closet, the more this becomes part of humanity, and probably a minority, numerical minority, the more that that's appreciated, the healthier it is, and the less gay people themselves are tempted to act out in a more promiscuous kind of way. But I think the actual evidence around that promiscuous way involving pedophilia is doesn't seem to me to hold up at all.
No, and it would therefore raise as questions that you feel that they are taking one issue and using it to make leverage for their own thoughts on another issue. The situation here in Ireland, you've gone around the country, you're talking to a lot of people. Do you feel that they feel heard and understood about the abuse issue and how it has affected them? Or do you feel it still really is a scandal for them and that they don't feel it has been adequately resolved in any way?
The people I meet, who are the people who come to church-related events, are probably, by and large, felt that they have been heard and that it has been effectively addressed. I think for them, the big issue is that it's left a legacy of mistrust, of lack of credibility from church authorities that's going to take a long time to heal. And I think for them, curiously enough, the deeper issue is secularization or secularism, the fact that they can see that their children and their grandchildren in particular are very, very good people, often have very high ideals, big into social justice, big into saving the earth. And whatever about looking to spirituality and even at times looking to Jesus, they don't look to the church. So for that generation, it's almost as if the church has been discredited. So that's what I hear from people who are coming to these talks. I suspect there's a lot of other people who've already left the church and people who, if you like, see the church very much as something that's very negative, that that's also true. But the people I meet are people who are hanging in and who, curiously enough, and yet absolutely correctly, see this as a wonderful time of opportunity, that all that kind of power and trappings and authoritarianism of the past and of the very recent past is crumbling before our very eyes, and they rejoice in that. And at the same time, they know that something has to be built up, and they're willing to hang in and put their little bit into the rebuilding. And it seems to me that that's a more hopeful way forward.
And I just want to ask you one more question, because it's one that I think would strike a lot of people. You mentioned earlier about it's difficult to be a Catholic nowadays. Mm. Why should somebody stay in the institutional church if they can say, look, I'll say my prayers, I will have a deep spirituality, I'll read my gospel, I'll do all that, but I cannot continue to align myself with this institution given all that has happened and the slow rate of change. What would you say to somebody like that, the importance of an institution?
Yeah, I do think that it's a very modern thing, if you like. I was listening to a program this morning on authenticity on BBC Radio 4. We've become very used to being individuals and even being authentic individuals. But there's something there that's absolutely true, of course, that we have to be true to ourselves. But if the emphasis is all the time on me, it misses out something very important. We are deeply social creatures. We're in communities. We're in institutions. And whether it's the GAA or a political party, that's the way we organize our lives together. And Jesus knew that. And so Jesus gathered his group of 12, his group of 70, his much wider group of men and women who came along with him. And it seems to me there is this great risk and very understandable risk of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The church has done terrible things right through history. And yet when you think of the wonderful thinking that has gone on, the resources of prayer, the wonderful sacrifices that people make in terms of charity and justice, the resources in terms of retreats, just the wisdom that's there, that's still present in people and in pockets of people. And what we're really called to do is to make our institutions embody the values of the gospel. And each of us has a role there. And it seems to me Brendan Callan, who's a British psychologist, says a very good thing here. He says the whole thing of clericalism had benefits both for the clergy and for the laity. So the benefits for the clergy were clear. It was a position of superiority. The benefits for the laity were a kind of saying all right to just being on the fence, if you like. You didn't have to take responsibility. You didn't have to take a role. And you could even bask in the glory of seeing all these cardinals together and so on. That's all gone, clearly now. But obviously the response can be I walk away from it completely. Or I recognize that as social creatures, in whatever we do it together. So whether it's just at a family level or at a local community or as a spiritual person. And it seems to me there will always be room for individuals, for prophets and so on. But it's carried in the end by institutions. And institutions, of course, are always faulty, but they can be much better if ordinary people, authentic people, join and work for their reform. And I think that's what's happening now.